Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments.
It is my honor today to have as my guest Dr. Andrew Westmoreland, the 18th president of Samford University. Dr. Westmoreland, known as Andy by the faculty, students at Samford, and everywhere he goes, career in higher education spans 42 years, including 23 years in two college presidencies. In addition to his duties as Samford president, Dr. Westmoreland teaches courses in political science as his schedule allows. He also serves as a member of many community boards and national charities and other entities. He is an author and a speaker. He is also a native of Arkansas. Andy is married to Dr. Gina Westmoreland. They have one daughter, Riley, who is a graduate of Samford and Vanderbilt University. Well, Andy, it is so good to have you on the show today. When did we schedule this?
Well, I think, Mike, that it was the third week in March of that dread 2020. Things were just completely coming apart at the seams, and I had to cancel out on you because I had to figure out how in the world I was going to run a university that particular week. We both lived to tell about it, Mike, so that's good.
That's a good thing, right? And you've had plenty of time to prepare as well.
That's true.
All right. And you know, before I begin anything, I always like to give thanks. And it's a good practice. I wanted to start with asking you, what are you really most grateful for right here, right now in your life?
Well, right now, this moment, I'm most grateful that we really do appear to be making some progress with COVID. We're seeing that, as you know, in our Alabama numbers, they're in control. Hospitalizations are down on our own campus. Yesterday, we had no new positive cases. Zero. So we're seeing some progress. And aren't we all glad for that?
Aren't we, Tar? That's for sure. This podcast, of course, about those small-time leaders who did small things. Tell us about someone in your life who made a difference for you.
The story is about what became my third grade teacher. And a little bit of background about me. I grew up as really in a home without a whole lot of money in the little town, Batesville, Arkansas. And I didn't realize how little money we had because everybody I knew was similarly situated. And so it took me a few years to understand the extent to which we were impoverished. But I grew up in that little town, and my school, I remember, was East Elementary School. Our town was big enough that we had an East Elementary and a West Elementary. And I did not have, I think, the best start in school. I did all right in the first grade, and I did all right in the second grade, but I think I was not the most motivated kid. And I can remember vividly, it was toward the end of my second grade year, and we were out on the playground during recess. And this lady, Mrs. McGinnis, was a legend in our school. And of course, I thought she must be ancient. Looking back now, she probably was a good 20 years younger than I am at this time in my life. But she was this grandmotherly figure, and all the kids just loved Mrs. McGinnis. So I can remember that afternoon, second grade, she came up to me on the playground as we were headed back into the classrooms. It was the end of recess. And she stopped me and she said, "I hope that I'll have you in my classroom next year." All these years later, I remember that line. And in fact, I was able to get into her classroom the next year. Now, Mike, I got to tell you that What I didn't realize at the time was that the odds were 50-50 on that anyway, because we only had two third grade teachers. So I might have ended up in her classroom anyway. But she said, "I hope I'll have you in my room next year." To a kid who wasn't really living up to much potential already in school, for a lady like Mrs. McGinnis to say that to me, created in me the sense that if I did get into her classroom, that I was going to do everything I could to produce. And I did. And for me, that third grade experience was probably the key turning point in my educational journey. I doubt very much that I would be sitting here as a university president if Mrs. McGinnis had not stopped me on that playground to say that all those years ago. And the impact of it, you can tell. I remember it now from the, you know, that was in the early 1960s, and I'm carrying that around. And so the impact on me personally has been great. But what I've tried to do over the years is to help other people within my circle of relationships, especially at work, to understand the significance of the right word spoken at the right time. And we all have memories similar to that. So Mrs. McGinnis played an important role in my life. A little additional history about it all. I stayed in touch with her for years, exchanged a few letters with her over the years, and we stayed in touch. Big impact from not a small-time leader to me. She was the mountain and of great significance to me.
But she did that small thing, those few words. There was more behind those words to you than, and by the way, I'm impressed that you had two classes to choose from. But anyway, I think we had one. What's the word story behind the words that really motivated you to say, "I'm going to give it my all when I get in there"? Tell me about that.
Well, I recognize now, I mean, they may have already drawn up the list. I don't know how that stuff worked. And she may very well have been systematically saying that to every one of those kids. I don't know that. But no one in my young life outside my family had, and my dad was a pretty stoic character. And so he didn't just walk around saying, you know, "Hey, good job, son." No, certainly nobody in my school experience had said anything like that to me. That may have been actually my first encounter with encouragement in the school.
Wow. It's amazing how our words, in your life, she may have just told everyone that, but for some reason, that affirmation, those words came back to you. I remember when I was at elementary school, the guy that impacted my life was the janitor. He came up to me and said, "I need some help. Could you stay after school and help me?" And he paid me a nickel. And oh my gosh, it set a kind of a work ethic. And I never thought about it till you said that. Just those words from people in those positions mean something because of who they are. Yeah.
Well, it does. And, you know, you've just made, I think, an excellent point with your comment about the custodian. I've long believed, and of course, I'm talking about the school business now because that's been my life. But I try to talk with our people pretty regularly about the significance of every position in a school. And it is often that those who are in support staff positions with maintenance or custodial, they will have opportunities for hallway conversations with kids, and they can help with that pathway. So we talk a lot legitimately about the significance of faculty, and it is that teaching learning enterprise that is precious and that must be strengthened and celebrated. But I believe that all work has value. And so I try to encourage everybody within a school environment to be conscious